The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, the Sunday before Christmas Day, you are listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill, and with the countdown well and truly on for the big day, Tom Phelan, who is a chef, the pastry chef, in fact, at Mount Juliet, joins us again with some Christmas dinner and dessert prep for Thursday, a.k.a. Christmas Day. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Orla. Thanks for having me back again.
I'm very happy to have you back. You've brought boxes of stuff from your kitchen. What have you brought?
Well,
me, not us, me.
Well, I decided to spread a bit of Christmas cheer, so it's literally all the stuff that we're going to be eating over Christmas.
But oh my gosh.
We'll get a bit of a head start on
in
it.
In the sweet variety.
Oh
it?
Yes, it's all sweets.
Okay, so give us an example. Are these some of the things you're going to cook for Christmas Day?
They're kind of going to be stuff that'll be there.
Okay.
Like, it's not necessarily I will make them Christmas Day or
okay.
for Christmas Day.
Well, that's
Day,
what this is all about. The
yes.
prep.
So yes.
I saw in one of your boxes you had brownies. Are they something you could prep ahead?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Chocolate brownies are going to last for... There's so much sugar in them, God only knows how long they'll really
okay,
last.
Okay, well, that's brilliant.
Make them today, they'll be fine.
Excellent.
There'll be no issues with them.
And they'd be a great one for, like, visitors.
Absolutely.
And,
a tray bake, anything that you can bake in bulk like that is ideal because you can just put it out. There's no hassle.
Okay.
And everyone enjoys it. It's just pick up when you need to eat more food on Christmas
And have
Day.
You anything in specific for your brownies? Is there a way that you do them?
Oh, so my brownie is... probably my most shared recipe.
Oh, okay.
So I enjoy sharing the recipe, but I am very much, when it comes to making something like a brownie, not to put any fuss into it.
Okay.
So everything goes into the bowl and okay. I just turn it on and mix it till it's all combined.
Okay.
And then smooth it out.
So tell us quickly what you put in there.
So there is some cocoa powder.
Okay.
It's really vital that you use a good quality cocoa powder.
Okay.
Sugar, eggs, butter, chocolate chips for extra chocolate, and then you have some self-raising flour.
Brilliant. Okay.
Very
easy. Just bung it all
recipe.
In and stick it into a tray.
Yeah.
Stick it in the oven, the usual 180.
Yeah. Well, I had 170.
Yeah. Okay. And how long does that take about?
About 35 minutes.
Okay. Lovely stuff. Give us a look at them there. Do the big reveal to me. Oh, they look so lovely and chocolatey. Okay. That's a great idea. Now, I know you make hundreds, if not thousands, of gingerbread men at Mount Juliet. And we were talking last time about the amazing Mount Juliet inspired gingerbread house that's in the reception area of the hotel. Is it still there? It'll be there until...
It absolutely is. I've already had the gingerbread renovation crew back in to do a few touch-ups on it.
Have people been nibbling?
Oh, there's been pieces missing. I get a little bit of joy when I go out and see it. But.
But your gingerbread men are a great idea as well for visitors, and they're quite simple too, aren't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely, and yeah. gingerbread lasts indefinitely.
Okay,
like.
So that's what we need to
yes.
think about as well, that you're not mm-hmm. in a panic, but that your four aunts twice removed have arrived at the
yes.
gate and you have nothing
absolutely.
To give
absolutely, you can have a jar of gingerbread there and it will hold again. That's why it works for the house.
Yeah, and really impressive looking as well, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now, Sunday today, anything savoury-wise? I know I'm taking stuff out of the freezer to your horror, but I have prepped some stuff. But is there any other food at this stage that would keep that you could prep?
Well, yeah, you could definitely start with your Christmas dinner stuff now.
Okay.
Like, I will allow you to start.
Thank you. The aromash is out, Tom.
The aromash is out. I hope the freezer is not too full at this rate.
No,
but
some frozen Brussels sprouts and frozen stuff for roast veg in there.
Okay, lovely. Well, like, if you hadn't frozen your veg, you could definitely prep your veg now. Just peel
okay.
them, cut them up. You're only 4 days out, so...
Yeah, yeah. Put them in water by now or just keep them in the fridge?
Just keep them in the fridge.
Okay.
Just peel them. Chop them, whatever you want to do, whatever way
okay.
you want to prepare them and put them into the fridge.
Great.
Now, don't peel your potatoes now because you will have black potatoes
okay.
by the time Christmas
Not even if you can't leave them in water for the next 4 days.
No. If you have the space, go ahead, but probably not the most recommended
okay.
way. Yeah, definitely get your veg ready now. And
perfect.
You can, like, I have the breadcrumbs. I'm actually going to make it today to stuff in and it'll
stuff.
Be ready to go then.
Soup or anything like that for
yeah,
starters?
Yeah, if you're having soup, yeah, the soup again is going to last. There's,
yeah.
There's
okay.
a good bit of lasting soup.
So what do you actually do on the day then? Are you putting the starter together from scratch on the day, for example? Because don't you do a fish starter, do
yes,
you say
it's
to
crab.
Me?
Yes, it's crab. So I would get everything kind of ready Christmas Eve. So okay. I'm normally working Christmas Eve and I'll come home at some point in the evening because I like, well, in our house, we have Christmas dinner starting anywhere from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock kind
oh,
of
lovely.
Time.
Lovely, yeah, nice time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then it drags on till the evening. But
lovely.
We would have, I'd get most of the stuff ready in the Christmas Eve when I come home from work. Well, I'm still in the work mood before I'm ready to just wind down and stop. which is definitely a Christmas day, is to stop. So while I don't have the freezer full, I don't want to be prepping all day on Christmas day. So I'll be getting anything. I'll have my potatoes peeled. I'll have my starter, like whatever I'm putting in it. If it's a little bit of fennel or onion or something, I'll have it chopped ready and I'll mix it and it'll be ready. So it really is just serve it on Christmas day. Okay. You don't want to have any of that prepped.
Okay, so you can just chill out then, go for a walk, whatever, while the turkey is cooking in the oven. And
show the turkey in the oven and don't worry about it. Okay. I'll have the ham cooked Christmas.
Oh, the ham is cooked.
Well.
And do you have anything specifically that you like to put on top of the ham? Any glaze or anything?
Like a nice honey glaze now.
Honey, just to
a few cloves.
On. Yeah.
Kind of very traditional, rustic. Nothing too fancy or over the top. Like, I know there was a phase there of cooking the ham in Coca-Cola and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I did that once. It was way too sweet.
Yeah, no, I just leave as a kind of. Yeah. As it is, get a good piece of ham and it doesn't need the work.
It's my favourite bit. Now, Tom, my Instagram is inundated. I must have clicked on a few and now they're just throwing them at me. Roast potatoes. And I have to say I make a good roast potato. I really do. I don't do much. I just make sure the oil is heated beforehand to give them a good rough up after they've been parboiled. I don't think there's much else to do. I saw a woman put garlic, different herbs into the oil and then cook the potatoes in different herbs as well. But does it need to be that much faff?
I'm probably going to be killed for saying it, but no, I agree. Keep it to the minimum. Like it doesn't, like some people go over the top of Christmas dinner and I suppose that's what's going to lead you to not having the time on Christmas Day to relax. It's like, it is just an ordinary dinner, be it we eat 10 times the amount of a regular dinner.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, faff. No.
Okay. And do you have many potato types?
Oh, for Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
So I actually come from a potato farm.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
Well, in the past, we had a lot of potatoes on the farm. So we would have boiled potatoes, mashed potatoes, roast potatoes, and there could be some other garlic potatoes or something thrown in there as well.
Potato. Yeah, you really do. Yeah. Now, as pastry chef of Mount Juliet, desserts will be your thing. I'm sure your family are very much looking forward to you cooking the desserts. Is it a traditional, cooking isn't the right word for desserts, but you know what I mean. Is it a traditional dessert that you go for on Christmas Day?
So I actually, this year, will only be prepping the desserts for Mount Juliet.
Okay.
But it is a reflection of what I've learned from home. So it is always traditional. I love a trifle.
Do you?
And the only trifle I really love is my mother's trifle.
Okay, all right.
I suppose it's what I've grown up with on Christmas Day. You can't just be just having something that's just there and made for you. And it's like, I can enjoy this. And
is it a case of what's rare is wonderful that you don't often have trifle?
I'd say so, yeah. Like it is one of those Christmas and maybe something else, but my mother will always do them in like little individual bowls.
Oh, yum, yeah.
It is the most traditional trifle you could have.
Like jelly in it.
There's jelly in it and there's the fruit cocktail chun in it as well. But yeah, it is just the traditional trifle. And then there's always banoffee pie, but I will stick towards the...
Okay. And do you know what my favourite dessert is?
What?
Again, what's rare is wonderful. Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska. Oh.
And again, made really cheaply. Yeah. Bought sponge, fruit cocktail, like you said, ice cream on top and a bit of meringue. It is amazing. But if I had it constantly, I wouldn't think like that.
Absolutely.
It's a Christmas Day joy.
Yeah.
Gorgeous stuff. Well, look, I'd like to say have a relaxing time over Christmas, but I know you're busy in hotels anyway, completely on the run up to Christmas itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then at home, you are expected to do a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining me. Have a really happy Christmas. That is Tom Phelan. He's the pastry chef at Mount Juliet. He has brought in so many treats that I am going to go off now and have a coffee and perhaps both a gingerbread man and a brownie. Thanks a million, Tom, and happy Christmas.
Thank you very much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, the last one before the Christmas holidays. You are listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill. And yes, the Christmas halls are just around the corner, so close that I can smell them. But for many people, switching off for the holidays can be hard, especially if you're working a hybrid life. You can check emails in the evening, take calls, catch up on work. It's making the holiday feel not so restful after all. Well, Damien McCarthy is the MD and founder of the HR Buddy, and he joins me this Sunday before Christmas Day with some great advice on how to disconnect. You're very welcome, Damien.
Hi, Orla.
And don't they say, Damien, if you have your own company, you never really are take time off. So do you follow your own rules?
Yeah, well, I suppose there is a difference perhaps between employees and I suppose business owners. I suppose what I have found with switching off from work, and it is very important for our health, regardless of whether we're employees or business owners and managers. But what I have found is that it takes planning, organization, and a bit of discipline. So, for example, I've learned over the last few years when I've gone on holidays that, you know, maybe it's not realistic to completely switch off. So I got into, I think, a very good habit of maybe spending 30 minutes, maybe every day or every second day, doing a little bit of work and then achieving the switch off, rather than constantly kind of being on, being interrupted by emails or queries, maybe from staff and so on. So
I suppose that's realistic, but if you were my holiday buddy, even that half an hour would annoy me.
Yes, yeah, and sometimes that annoys my wife a little bit. But, for most employees, I suppose the big thing with Christmas, you know, if you're working in an industry where you get a Christmas break and a Christmas shutdown, it's probably, you know, it has the opportunity to be the best rest of the year. And I think, you know, we make mistakes whereby we, you know, we have email reminders that we're on annual leave.
Yes.
When really we should use the word holiday.
It is
a holiday because, you know, the receiver treats a holiday, someone being on holidays, very differently to someone being on annual leave. If I email you and you tell me you're on annual leave, I look for the date when you're back. You know, you're just off and when are you back?
Yeah.
When you use the word holidays, which for, you know, and Christmas is, you know, probably the most important holiday of the year. It's an opportunity to spend time at holiday, with family, on holidays and completely switch off. Uh-huh. So a little bit of organization can give you that rest that you need, and it brings us into a new year at work.
It's funny to say, because I work as a lecturer as well as working in broadcasting, and it's two completely different worlds. Like during my 12 weeks off in the summer, like I wouldn't look at my email once, and if I did, there would be zero emails there. Like everything is just closed down for those 12 weeks until maybe you get your timetable or stuff like that in August. So my brain is trained to just completely switch it off from that job. Whereas I have checked my emails for like things that I'm making as a broadcaster and stuff like that on holidays. But what I have trained myself to do is now do the out of office, give people an option of someone else to email, and delete my Outlook for the 2 weeks. Take it off my phone.
So like again, and that shows that there's, you know, you've thought about this and there's some planning and organization in it. And I suppose there's the big thing nowadays is, you know, that mix that we have. So an awful lot of people may be working remote and hybrid.
Yes. And that's the main problem really, is it? That there's no real division between work and home.
Yeah, I suppose the whole thing is blurred. And I suppose if you take an example of someone who would spend a lot of time working from home, they may spend even Christmas Day in the same room where they have been working all year.
Wow.
You know, so okay, how do you separate this? And I suppose we're attached to technology or smartphones, so that mix between work contacts and, you know, our social private contacts even become blurred as well, and what is work, what is not work. So the big issue now is switching off, and I think we can't immediately just switch off. We need to plan and organize it. So I think, you know, if you're looking at a Christmas break where you may have a full week off, or maybe even lucky to have maybe 10 days off work, you need to start planning, you know, in November and December, early December, to get that right with regards to putting out the right communications, maybe budding up with an ally, you know, who may still be in the workplace, using the right language, use holidays instead of annual leave, use words like, for urgent queries, you know, you can contact me or you can contact someone else, mention your return date so that the communication is very clear. And I suppose some people even go further and, you know, as you have said there, you know, they change the password on their Outlook email, and they don't get the new password until they go back. So they actually deliberately block themselves off from having access to their work communications and work emails.
And because, from a HR side, Damien, you can't get in trouble if you didn't answer an email on your holidays.
No, absolutely not. Look, when an employee is off, when they're on rest or when they're on annual leave, which they will be over perhaps a Christmas break, I suppose, you know, they're not at liberty to answer out of work hours communications. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for that's fine, that may be the law and so on, but we all know there's a reality there. And I suppose the big thing I've always said about switching off and people working out of hours and going back into work emails and so on, that very often employers have the best of intentions and they're not forcing their workers to do this. It's the human themselves, the workers themselves, who are going back in because they're attached, they're struggling to switch off. So they're going back in themselves. So this is very much about personal control and personal discipline. Mm-hmm. I suppose if you want to have the holiday and you want to have the rest and you want to enjoy your Christmas, really the best way or perhaps the only way you can achieve that is personal self-discipline and not looking for someone else to achieve that for you.
Yes. You know. And I suppose this is all a new problem with the advent of phones and 5G and everything. You know, there was a day when you turned off your computer and you didn't turn it back on again. Whereas not only are we using our Outlooks and our Google Mails, there's all different ways of being in contact, including WhatsApp, that you might have a work WhatsApp group. Now, I do think Archive is a great thing for that. So there are ways to do it, aren't there?
Yeah, and I suppose interesting you mentioned WhatsApp. I think, you know, WhatsApp is kind of the, I think, biggest problem with regards to kind of communication and contacts and that, you know, the whole world has access to us through our various kind of groups, and very often work and personal are mixed up inside in WhatsApp as well. And particularly when you are off, very often people are drawn back in by WhatsApp communications. So again, you know, if you're off for, you know, I suppose a considerable period over Christmas or even take a summer holiday and so on, I mean, you can temporarily leave a group and go back in.
Yes.
You can mute your notifications and so on. And, I think that's very important because if you're looking to switch off, you know, if you're getting a ping on your phone and it's something that's work related and you're on holidays, it's not even an annual leave day, you're on holidays over the Christmas time, it's important that you do these things because it's within your interest. It's also within the employer's interest that when you're off work, it's for refreshment, it's for rest.
Exactly.
It's so you can be reinvigorated to come back and be your best when you return to work. So we should actively kind of pursue trying to achieve that.
Yes. Well, it's a blurred world we live in these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it is. And I suppose, you know, remote work has done that. Working from home has done it. I suppose the advancement with regards to, you know, internet and all that as well. I mean, I remember the days when you could tell people, oh, sorry, I have poor internet connection, you know, so you won't be able to get me while I'm off. We can't use that one anymore because if you're working from home, you need to have good internet. And, you know, so you can't tell that white lie anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of studies done on the effect of this in years to come too. Well, that was such great advice, Damien. Before you go, I have to ask you the very important question about your Christmas dinner. What's your favourite part? Christmas dinner, crisp sandwiches, few Quality Street. What do you look forward to on the big day itself?
The leftovers sandwich.
The sandwich.
The dirty Christmas sandwich.
Lovely.
At about
white,
half 10
cheap
Christmas
bread.
Night.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Love it. Well, enjoy it.
Looking forward to that.
And I hope you answer no emails while you're eating that sandwich. That is Damien McCarthy, MD and founder of HR Buddy. And you can check that out if you search for the HR Buddy online as well. Thanks a million for joining me and happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Orla. Enjoy, everyone.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday Grill, you are listening to Beat, and let's kick off hour two with a non-Christmassy story and a great one at that. Paramount are currently running The Revenge Club. It's a thriller television series. It's an adaptation of the novel The Othello Club that you might know. It stars Sharon Rooney and Martin Compston, who you'll know from Line of Duty, but most importantly, a Southie star on the rise, Holly Harmon, is also part of it. She's just 14. She has quite the CV behind her, and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Holly.
Thank you.
Wow. Can I just read through your CV and you tell me if these are all true now? So you've been on The Late Late Show, The Toy Show.
Yeah.
Alongside Andrea Bocelli. Did you sing with Andrea Bocelli?
Yeah, I sang with him.
Wow. You performed with Irish Women in Harmony at the National Concert Hall.
Yes.
And you've been in lots of productions with Spotlight and Stage Schools and stuff like that. You were in A Winter's Tale, a major concert at Visual in Carlo. You've appeared with renowned baritones. You've been guests for community choirs. I could go on and on. I presume you're getting all this talent from your parents, are you?
Yeah, maybe.
Holly, it's so lovely to talk to you this morning. Tell us about the Revenge Club and how this all came to you, because this is your first screen role, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my first screen role ever.
So how did this all start? When did you get the call, or how did you decide to audition? Take us back to that time.
Well, I'm with the crowd that I do my acting with, and they also send out some tapes. So it's Stagebox, and I got sent out a tape. Maybe I'll get sent a few a year. Okay. And you wouldn't really think anything of it until I got a call from them and they told my mum, and obviously we were all delighted. It was amazing.
And what do you mean? You did the self-tape and then they just called you and said you're in?
Well, I'd done the self-tape and I don't know, I think it might have been a couple of weeks, and then they called again, because usually there might be like a callback or something, but no, it was straight in.
Wow. And tell us about the Revenge Club. What's your role in it?
Well, in the Revenge Club, it's six divorced strangers form a group, and my character's parent in it is in that group. Okay. So, yeah, the kids are kind of brought into it through that.
And who's your parent in this? Who plays your parent?
Sharon Rooney.
Oh, I love Sharon Rooney. She's been in so many. Yes. She's got that real recognisable face. She was actually in Barbie, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was in Barbie, Dumbo. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah,
it was so nice to
absolutely
be with
brilliant.
Her.
And did you get on very well, the two of you?
Yeah, we had a few things to do together, so it was so amazing to get to kind of work alongside and learn so much from everybody.
She's such a working actress as well, isn't she? Like, she's not a massive star on red carpets. She's just constantly working and in something all the time.
Yeah, I feel like she's such a recognisable person.
She really is. I think you'll recognise her if you're watching The Revenge Club. And will we see you in many episodes, or is there one specific episode we should watch out for?
I think the main episode is episode 3, but I'm also in episode 2 and 4.
Okay, good stuff. And where did you film it all then?
I filmed it in Bray. Oh, it was gorgeous up there. It was so nice.
Really? And how many days were you up there for?
I think 3 days up filming.
And how did that all feel? Was it exciting?
Oh, it was just amazing. Like, I loved it, because obviously it was my first time up on set, and it was just so cool to see how much really goes into it, because there's so many jobs that you wouldn't think. Like, obviously there's the cameras, the mics, and then hair, makeup, costume, and there's so much more that you never really would think. And then I'm like, oh my God, there's so much behind it.
And was it different than you thought? I know there's a lot of waiting around with stuff like that and with television and filming. Was it a different kind of experience than you imagined it would be?
I didn't really know what to expect going into it, which is more the reason I was so excited. One thing I was shocked at was the food truck. It was unreal.
Tell us about it. What sort of food were you eating? This is my kind of thing.
All sorts. Oh my God. I came and I was like, oh, I can't wait for the next day, because I can't wait for their breakfast.
What kind of breakfast were they giving you?
Oh, hash browns, sausages, rashers, you name it.
Wow.
It was there.
Oh, the joy.
There was
a
lot more than the food truck that I was shocked about. But
but what a brilliant experience. And has it kind of given you the bug for television or film acting?
Yes. As soon as I finished, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. Even just for the next tape I get, I was like, oh, I really, really loved it.
Oh, how brilliant. And have you seen yourself now that it's out on Paramount?
Yeah, I have. I watched it the first day it came out, and it was so cool to see how everything came together as well, because obviously you'd film it and you wouldn't really know how it would end up in the final thing, because they take so many different shots, and it was just amazing to see all the like sound effects and lighting and camera and how everything was used.
What a portfolio to start off with at just 14. And do you have your junior cert this year or anything?
Yeah, junior cert this year.
Wow, so back to reality with a bang.
Yeah. Came back to school and I was like, ah, oh, yeah, right.
And what have your friends' reactions been to you being on a Paramount series, The Revenge Club?
Well, I think a few of their parents would be more interested in it. So I get a lot of the parents saying to me that they might have seen it, and I'm like, oh, it's just the best feeling.
Oh, how lovely. And also, you're a bit of everything. You're in the Panto in Carlow, which finishes up tonight. What are you doing in the Panto?
We're doing Goldilocks, and my character is called Silky Locks, and
Ah,
I'm
so
singing a
you've
song.
got a big part in that.
Yeah, well, I'm singing Never Enough and some acting, a bit of everything.
Wow. So this is just what you love to do. Does it keep you busy, all the acting, and or have you other hobbies as well?
Well, acting, singing, dancing, but then a lot of the time they all kind of tie in together, you know.
So no sport or anything.
No, well, I like to say that it kind of is my
It
sport.
is your
Like,
sport,
people are out
totally.
kicking football and I'm on an acting call, you know.
Exactly. And dancing, like there's no tomorrow either. So, it's all
Yes,
sport and
dancing, yeah.
exercise. Well, listen,
Yeah.
congratulations. It's such an amazing feat. You're not the first Carlo girl that we've had on that has been in on the screen or in a film. Can you guess what who the other person was?
Emmy Nolan, is it?
That's it, exactly. So,
Yeah, well,
Carlo.
I'm doing Panto with her right
Oh, are
now.
you amazing?
Yeah,
Well,
me and Emmy are. I love Emmy.
it seems to be the place, Carlo. It's breeding new generations of actors and singers and dancers. So, congratulations to you. I presume you're going to be very chilled out now once the panto is over tonight and we head into Christmas time.
Yes, I can relax.
Well, listen, enjoy it. That is Holly Harmon. She is 14. She's a singer, an actor, and she is in The Revenge Club. We didn't even ask you what your character's name is in The Revenge Club.
My character's name is Lula.
Lula, so watch out for her. And is Lula 14 as well? Were you given a kind of a background into who she was?
Yeah, I think she's 14 as well.
Okay, and she is on The Revenge Club. That is Holly Harmon, of course. Her character is Lula. Is that what you said? Lula.
Yes, Lula.
Good stuff. And her mum is the actress Sharon Rooney in that as well. The Revenge Club is on Paramount. It's currently running. It's 6 episodes and it's there and it's bingeable, of course. Holly, have a lovely Christmas. Enjoy the panto now. That is the Carlo panto. It's Goldilocks and the Three Queer Bears, because Carlo people like to claim queer, even though it originally came from Wexford. You do know that, Holly, don't you?
Yeah, I know
Good,
that
good, good, good. And where is the panto on, Holly?
now. Visual.
The Visual in Carlow, which is such a gorgeous venue as well. Well, enjoy that. Thank you so much for talking to me. I look forward to seeing you on the big screen and the small screen in years to come, Holly. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill, and we're talking Christmas, of course, because it is the last Sunday before Christmas. And with the cost of living higher than ever, many families are rethinking how they shop for Christmas this year while also limiting their waste. From recycling advice to secondhand gifts, Dana from Beat News has this report.
Christmas is a time of giving, but it's also the most waste-heavy time of the year. From toy packaging to wrapping paper, councils say December puts huge pressure on recycling systems. This year, there's a push to rethink how we celebrate without losing the magic.
Every single year, I go out and I buy lovely Christmas paper, and then I open the wardrobe and I still have rolls of it in there. So this year, I'm going to be good about repackaging, maybe using brown paper, string, and cloth. Somebody gave me a present and a book, and it was wrapped in a beautiful piece of cloth, and I thought that's a really nice idea.
I, of course, will be wearing my trusty Christmas jumper that I pull out every year and probably give a few second-hand gifts to families and friends.
If you get something given to you that you don't need, pass it on to somebody else. Absolutely.
That's just some of the ways people are planning on being more sustainable this Christmas. And Waterford City and County Council's Climate Action Officer, Grainne Kennedy, suggests some more ways families can be more sustainable.
For adults, let's get each other things that are, not physical things. I know last year I got tickets to a concert out in Dunhill and it was a fantastic night. Mm. And I know people are like kind of saying to each other, let's go out to Mount Congaree for a day, or let's, you know, have a day out in Lismore, or different things like that. But I definitely feel with children, the most important thing is to really play with what you have. Like when you think of what's been made, you know, and all the energy that's gone into those things in the North Pole and all that kind of, you know, it's really important that whatever we get, you know, we look after it and we mind it for years to come. I do love on St. Stephen's Day, I love seeing kids out on bikes. They're all very sustainable activities that can be done at Christmas. I know in some communities around Waterford, they're doing things called toy libraries. You know, oftentimes children grow out with toys very quickly, and it's a much better idea then for the local community to be able to say, well, we have all these toys for these children at this age. Let's find other people in the local area that would use them. And, you know, particularly for very young children, you know, you fly through toys. So yeah. I think, for the adults, let's give ourselves a few days out and let's enjoy where we live. And for the kids, let's look after our toys and really enjoy them as well.
Many people are still unsure as to what can and can't be recycled, especially around Christmas. Grainne explains the key things to remember.
When people come to recycling, they're asked to have it clean and have it dry, and that's very important. And then no food waste contamination in the recycling bin as well, because if you put food waste in, that means it has to go out. And that's why we have food waste separate collections. And I think if you think of that, clean and dry, and make sure that you kind of check the pots and things like that, you should be okay. And the other thing I'd say to people is, when you're looking at a material and you're not sure, just ask yourself the question, does it look like it has two materials in it? So does it have a plasticky finish if it's kind of papery? And if it does, then that's very difficult to take. For example, your twirl wrapper, that you can't recycle that, because if you think about it, there's two materials in it. There's a plastic and then there's other materials in it. So it's very difficult to separate.
Separate out your batteries. You know, they're quite, can be quite dangerous if people throw them into the waste bin or into the recycle bin. I think with batteries, sometimes people are like, oh, it's small, I'll just throw it in. And actually it can be quite dangerous.
Sustainability doesn't always mean buying less. Sometimes it means buying better. Miles Kavanagh from Renewed Thrift Shop in Waterford City, which specialises in second-hand collectibles, says longevity is the key.
When the people come in to me and say, so they're reused, and I said, yep, they're all reused. I said, every tie is reused. When you come to collectible ties, they're reused. Someone had that tie 46 years ago, like the Imperial Walker up there. That was 46 years old there, and it must be handed out 3 or 4 times to different children in the years, and now someone else is going to enjoy it as an adult. And when people come in, they say they're getting the nostalgic feeling when they come here, and they remind their kids there when they were a child, they wanted this tie there. We have a tie there, was rad from 1991, was on the late tie show where Gay Byrne, that served Gay Byrne a cup of tea on the late show, and I couldn't get it as a tie. It was £1,500 at that time to get that tie.
Yeah.
And it's great to have, and people are seeing it and love the nostalgic scene. It's, oh my god, I remember that from the late tie show with Gay Byrne.
Miles says toy collecting can be a sustainable hobby, with collectors often trading items rather than buying new ones.
So if someone wants something, really wants to come in and say, oh, can I trade against a certain tie, and we do a deal with them there and they can get the tie they want, or someone might need some money there, and we say, yeah, no problem, we buy the tie for cash. So it's just a happy win-win for someone there. Maybe if you don't want to donate it there and you want to make a few pounds, works out good both ways.
Yeah.
People are kind of getting rid of, cleaning out stuff out of their house that they kind of, none of the kids are not playing there, but it moves on to someone else that might go, oh, I always wanted that tie there, and they can, and we went to someone else and someone else, and this generation is carrying on and carrying on all the time, and this is what we like about it.
With growing calls to cut Christmas waste and embrace second-hand gifts, celebrating more sustainably may not be as difficult or expensive as it sounds.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, you are listening to The Sunday Grill, and we are talking Christmas movies with the one and only Father Christmas himself, Brian Griffin.
The least Christmas person you'll possibly find, honestly.
The most Father Christmas.
It's going to pass by.
If Father Christmas had a son in a little Christmas jumper, it would be Brian.
I'm like, Joe, when you watch those movies and it's like Father Christmas and then his brother, or it's like his friend that doesn't really care about Christmas. It's like, that's kind of me.
oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, it's like the... It's like
the bad Santa type thing.
It's like, yeah, no, it's like, yeah, no, I know Christmas happens and stuff and like fair play to the people that I do enjoy it, but it's just another day for me.
Do you have a Christmas movie? And don't say the Die Hard series because I'm not giving you that.
My favourite one?
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I love It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema the other night.
Did you?
Yeah,
yeah. Was it gorgeous in the cinema?
Oh, I've seen it in the cinema before.
Really?
Yeah, this is like the second or third time I've seen it in the cinema. But,
and it suits the cinema, I presume.
It does. And obviously I cried at the end.
Yeah. Jimmy Stewart, eh?
There's a movie about Jimmy Stewart being made. It was filmed in Cork. Oh,
brilliant. It's a documentary for the
a film. KJ Apa is in it.
Oh, he just comes across as the kindest of men.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was just the kindest of men, wasn't he?
I think so.
Good.
I hope so.
I do love a bit of Bad Santa with...
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob, once married to Angelina. I love that. I think it's such a funny movie.
He's been in
a bit of Elf.
He's been in two of the biggest Christmas movies of all time.
Oh, what was the other one?
Bad Santa and Love Actually.
Oh.
He's the American president.
Oh, I totally forgot that, as I've only seen Love Actually once.
That's crazy.
I know. Oh, and I love The Holiday as well.
Of course you love The Holiday.
I love it. Okay, we're going to talk about a few Christmas movies that are available for you to watch this afternoon if you're that way inclined. Some quite well known, some quite unwell known. One that has been recommended and is on Netflix right now and is kind of seen as a really excellent movie that's set at Christmas time, but I think it's a great movie to watch this afternoon, and that is The Holdovers. Now, I cannot say I've seen this.
Well, we reviewed it here before, yes. And I told you all about it before.
You did. Will we listen to a clip from it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I was right. This is why I hate parties. That was a disaster. Total disaster.
Speak for yourself. I was having fun. Let's take Mary home, make sure she's okay, and we'll come back.
Out of the question.
Come on, would you give me a break? God, I was hitting it off with Elise.
No, the niece? Are you kidding me? This poor woman is bereft, and all you can think about is some silly girl.
I don't need you feeling sorry for me.
See? I'm just saying, this was the first good thing that came with being in this prison with you. Need I remind you that it is not my fault that you are stuck here? Do you think I want to be babysitting you? Oh, no, no. I was praying to the God I don't even believe in that your mother would pick up the phone or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a submarine or a flying saucer to take you
up. My father's
dead. That is The Holdovers. It stars a man whose name I'll get completely wrong, so I'm going to let Brian do it.
Paul Giamatti.
Giamatti. And you would have seen him recently in the Downton Abbey movie as well. And a massive hit for a woman. Did she win Best Supporting Actress for this?
She did, being Joy Randolph.
Yes.
And then Dominic Sessa, who was the other, like, essentially those three characters in it, most of it.
Brilliant
and
stuff.
He was in Now You See Me, Now You Don't just a few weeks ago.
And Davine Joy Randolph was also in a movie just recently as well. And I need to think of it. And it has been really got rave reviews for it as well. It is...
Eternity.
She was also in A24 movie that I'm really looking forward to.
Now, speaking of movies you can watch on Netflix with Davine Joy Randolph in it.
Yes.
There's
this
another
is
one.
Going completely off course.
I can't remember if you did watch this, but it's one that I've definitely told you to watch. Dolomite Is My Name.
Oh, I did watch Dolomite Is My Name.
She's in it. She's fantastic in it. She's like the second lead behind Eddie Murphy. She's like, and she's fantastic in that.
Oh,
so,
I need to watch that again. I did enjoy that. Quite not dark as in a film, but a really dark looking film.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Not really. It's a really funny comedy.
No, I don't mean as in the film was dark. I mean all the sets and everything were really dark.
Kind of. I don't know.
Murky or something when I was watching it.
I love that movie. That's one of those movies that I watch definitely every year.
Okay, but not at Christmas. So let's get back to The Holdovers. The premise of The Holdovers is a boarding school. He's forgotten.
No, I just wanted to see what you were going to say is the boarding school. So Paul Giamatti is a teacher. And Dominic Sessa is a student that's like has nowhere to go for the holidays. And Paul Giamatti also has nowhere to go.
Aww.
And also Davine Joy Randolph is working at the school and she's also on her own. So the three of them end up reluctantly almost at first spending the holidays together. But then obviously, as you might guess, they become friends.
Oh, I love the idea.
It's actually
that.
Very wholesome, but it's also like quite kind of sad in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But then like it's set in the 70s, which is a nice touch as well. And there's a big emphasis on like music and art and culture and stuff, which is always going to be a big thumbs up for me.
Good stuff that is available now. Now, here's one that I'm going to suggest. It's on Netflix right now. It's from way back. 4 years ago, 2021. It's called Father Christmas Is Back. The reason I'm recommending it is because Elizabeth Hurley, John Cleese and Kelsey Grammer are in this. Do you want to listen to a trailer?
Of course.
Christmas at Donnock Manor, capital of Nova.
Oh, I can remember when you lot used to fight like spitfire.
That's not very Christmassy.
I've had 27 years of therapy trying to recalibrate Christmas ever since my father abandoned us on Christmas Day.
Is it who I think it is? No way.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I can't believe my father's here. I want to cancel Christmas.
We'll muddle through. We're the Christmas hopes. That's what we do.
Oh, I love your dinky little English accent. I feel like I've landed in Hogwarts.
Okay.
Your father is finally here.
Oh, love a whiff of urine and old fart on Christmas Day.
Let's show him what he's missed. This is going to be the best Christmas ever.
Spread the bloody house up.
I propose a duel. Step outside.
Christmas is wrong.
Something is very wrong.
Down go.
Please, could we just be a family and have a lovely Christmas?
There you go. That's easy to find. It's called Father Christmas is Back. And I just think it seems like a really nice, easy Christmas afternoon movie.
If you went back on the records, you would see that we also reviewed that.
No, we didn't.
2021.
No, we didn't. I have the records right here, so I'm going to check that.
Do it.
It's not there, ladies and gentlemen. It is not there.
She went on her phone for approximately 2 seconds there to check that. She has no records.
I do have records. Little does he know. Anyway, that is called Father Christmas is Back. And then the Holdovers. Now, there's one other movie that's available on Netflix right now that is not Christmassy at all, but wow, it's part of a brilliant
series.
There's
churches in it.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They mentioned Jesus.
Yeah.
That's Christmassy.
Go for it.
It's the new Knives Out.
I love
Wake Up
Knives.
Dead Man.
Wake Up Dead Man. Still Daniel Craig?
Still Daniel Craig.
And massive stars as usual?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like if you just like randomly guess celebrities, you'll end up
Scarlett
guessing.
Scarlett Johansson?
No. So the probably
Sarah Paulson. She's in everything.
She was in the last one, yeah. Josh O'Connor is the main character in it.
Oh, very good.
Challengers, you would have known him from. Yep. He's also like the sexiest man alive or something?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I came second.
The sexiest man alive is in Wicked, actually.
I came second again.
Yeah.
Glenn Close is in it.
Brilliant.
Josh Brolin.
Okay.
Mila Kunis.
Oh, nice.
Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
Andrew Scott.
Oh, Andrew Scott is having the best years ever.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Okay.
Who is Sandman in Spider-Man 3 is how I'll always see him. Kaylee Spaney.
Yes.
You don't know who that is?
Nope.
She was Priscilla.
In the Elvis movie.
Yes. Well, no, in the movie Priscilla.
Oh, okay. Has there been two movies?
Jeffrey Wright.
Very good.
So it's actually fun because Jeffrey Wright used to be in the James Bond movies with Daniel Craig. So
excellent.
And he's like, it's a nice little thing when they have a scene together. So I'm like, they're friends.
I love that. Were we blackboarding that one because you went to, well, you didn't go to these. You watched it on Netflix.
I did go all the way to my desk and watched it on my computer. It's quite fun, but like, I feel like the Knives Out movies is one of those things where the first one you're like, I figured it out.
No,
but like every time you figure it out, you're like, I know where this is going.
But I love
and then
that.
It kept pulling the wool over your eyes
exactly.
And it was great. The second one, it's like, okay, they've done it again. Now you're going in and you're like, I know I'm not picking up everything. It's like, I'm looking at the little details, but they always leave out something mm-hmm. small that I can't get it. Mm. So you're almost waiting for like, yeah, I know. Oh yeah, here's a twist. Yeah, I'm waiting for another twist. Yeah,
that's a bad thing, Brian.
It is a bad thing. Like, it's almost like, it's like M. Night Shyamalan. Do you know? It's like he's going to have the big twist at the end. It's
like The Village.
The first one is crazy. The second one is like, oh, he did it again.
Yeah.
It's like, the next now he's like, he's going to have a load of twists in it. Like, there's going to be a twist.
Yeah.
So that's what this is.
But
I'm
did
afraid.
You enjoy it?
It was fun movie, but it's just like, yeah, okay, so that's, okay, this seems way too obvious and set now, and I see that there's 45 minutes left in this movie. So this isn't true.
Oh.
It's still a fine movie and it's nice to see all the famous people clearly having fun. So I would say like a 7 out of 10, but like the first one would have been a 10 out of 10.
Oh,
do you know?
I loved it. I loved
it. It's because it was so different because like murder mysteries.
Are they all available on Netflix, by the way?
I do believe so.
Okay, I think I'll watch the first one.
I think they signed like a deal with them for it. And they
say
just
that
like,
again. Say that again.
I do believe they signed a deal with them for it.
Okay, good stuff. 7 Black Puddings out of 10. It is Knives Out, part 3. Part isn't right. It's Wake Up Dead Man.
Yeah.
And then if you want to watch anything else on your sofa on Netflix this afternoon, I'm recommending Father Christmas is Back. You're recommending?
Holdovers.
Excellent. Not The Holdovers.
The Holdovers.
The Holdovers.
Also, Orla, one last thing. When I was on my travels, you gave out to me because I didn't give you any presents.
Oh!
And I said I had a magnet.
Is it a Thai black pudding?
It's not a Thai black pudding. It is a Thai magnet, though.
I love it.
Now, Orla, when I say...
It has an elephant on it.
It's the cheapest magnet you can possibly find.
That's okay. Was it less than a euro?
There was
less than a bat?
There was five of them for 150.
Five of them for 150.
So that'll tell you.
Excellent. I'm delighted to get it. I love a cheap magnet, especially from Thailand. I really loved my black pudding. That was the highlight of my review.
Yeah, if we look back in the year, that was probably the highlight.
I loved it. Thank you for all that you've done for us this year.
No problem.
Talk to you in 2026.
Thanks for the massive Christmas bonus.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.